Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Bruce Royal begins our Advent series presenting Jesus, the promised Savior. And now, here's Bruce.
Good morning. How are we doing? Okay. Well, thank you, worship team, for that wonderful introduction to bring us into the season, into the atmosphere of worshiping God. Thank you. There's something about Christmas. There's something about Advent. It's exciting. It looks forward. It brings us into this festive season. And that's what we're about today, to look into that, to look forward to that. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for what you are bringing us into. We anticipate, Lord, coming into a closer and more meaningful relationship with you, Jesus. So we thank you for the words that have been given to me. I just pray, Lord, you'd speak those words. Amen. Our topic this morning, the beginning of Advent, is Jesus as Savior promised. Matthew points out in Scripture that this came to fulfill prophecy. There we go. As we read in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel." As Matthew translates, Emmanuel, God with us. We see prophecy concerning the promised Savior. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son, the Savior of the world." Jesus. And we see also that he's been prophesied as the deliverer. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, we read, "Him God has exalted to his right hand to be leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel, the forgiveness of sins." And so there are many, many, many prophecies that we could choose today from Old Testament books, from New Testament books that speak about the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Lord as Savior. So who was the promised Savior? None other than Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who fulfilled God's promise and was sent as Savior of the world. He was the suffering servant who was our substitute so that we would not suffer what he suffered. He was the better sacrifice, as written from the book of Hebrews. And he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as proclaimed by John the Baptist. So when I say Advent, I also say Jesus, the promised Savior. Wonderful. What is Advent? The word Advent means arrival, or an appearing, coming into place. Christians often speak about Christ's first and second coming, of his coming to earth. The first Advent would be his incarnation, of what we celebrate at Christmas time, what we're counting down to. But there's a second Advent coming. We look forward to the second coming of Jesus to this earth, yet to happen. So Advent lasts for 4 Sundays of the calendar. Only 4 Sundays of the year. And It is four Sundays before Christmas, starting today, December 1st. So we have the 8th, we have the 15th, we have the 22nd, then we have Christmas. So this is the beginning. Advent is the path that takes us to the birth of Jesus, our Savior. A path that is well lit with directions. It's got signposts. It's got statements that lead us to the occurrence and the place of Jesus' birth. Meant to provide a light in darkness. Meant to provide hope in hopelessness that many feel at this time of the year. Meant to provide also a sense of peace, freshness, and prophecy fulfilled. All of these things are based on the promises of God. And the fulfillment of these promises draws us to only one logical conclusion. God is faithful. And that is the message for today. So if you fall asleep, and if you doze for the rest of the message, remember this. God is faithful. And if somebody asks you, what was the message about? God's faithful. You got it. But if you stay awake, there's more. God can be trusted to do what He says He'll do. That is the very definition of integrity. I do what I say. Integrity, the mantra of God who cannot lie. Contrasting that with His adversary, who is the forgery of deity, who is the father of lies, who has sold a convincing story that suggests things like integrity, truth, honor, faithfulness, are all outdated things. The message that God is faithful, the promised Savior whom we can trust, is sorely lacking in today's experience, in today's human experience. Every lie about God that occurs today, every lie reinforces doubt in people's minds. It fuels skepticism. And it draws people away to the false conclusion and saying things like, why should I believe? Who can I trust? Advent is God's word in action. He does what He says He will. The promise fulfilled, the realization that yes, God has been evaluated. Jesus has been scrutinized and by documented evidence and proven, yes, He can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted. What a wonderful takeaway. So we can add that to our message. We got two things now to remember. After all, Jesus, Yahshua, in the Hebrew, fulfilled not only 48 messianic prophecies, but in fact, He fulfilled more than 324 individual prophecies that related to the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah would come as promised Savior. And He did not fail on one. And so, if you had a mathematician here and he would map out the probability of fulfilling all those things in the detail that he did, it becomes infinitely unprobabilistic. Impossible, in other words. This is part of the reason there are so many prophecies in the Old Testament that needed to be fulfilled in the Old and New Testament to reinforce this very statement, God can be trusted. The world standard in measuring whether God can be trusted and bias towards people turning away and not trusting God. Jesus, if you mess up on one prophecy or promise, you can't be trusted, period. This strategy has been the top of the devil's agenda since time began. All the devil needs to do is discredit God. Find a way to discredit God, and it'll convince people he can't be trusted, so why believe? The promises of God are so significant, so revolutionary, so desired and treasured that they were told and they were retold, repeated and passed down from generation to generation, from family to family and community to community over the years. Not only as a story where God says, look what I said, but also, look what I've done. Intended to reinforce the very character of God, who is a God who is incapable of lying. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. The theme of Advent as we approach Christmas and the Christmas message prompt us to consider words such as promise, faith, trust, and the theme that was mentioned here today, hope. Promises continue to reinforce a truth, and there are so many truths stated in the Bible, in His Word. If we stop and think about them and let the promises of Christ sink in, we see our present life from a very unique perspective. For example, the verse says, you are in this world, but you are not of it. We see this in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, where it says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. And that theme is repeated again in John 17, 11 and 14 to 15. It says, I have given them my word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Even as I am not of this world, I pray that you should not take them out of this world, that you should keep them from the evil one. If we, as Christians who know Christ as Savior, if we are not of this world, what are we? We're part of the 8 billion people who live on this earth, but we're unique. If we're not of this world, what are we? We are a spiritual creation. A spiritual creation. We live in a spiritual world. The physical world is passing, but the spiritual is the eternal reality. That is the reality. The spiritual world, not the physical. Not the skin and the bones, the hair, the lack of. That's not the reality. The reality is what's on the inside. What's going on the inside? That's the reality, the spiritual world. The spiritual world has permanence. It's based on God's Word and revealed by Jesus Himself. And the more we allow Jesus' spiritual truths, to sink in, the less relevant the things of the world are around us. They fade. They fade into a place where that's where they should be, in the background somewhere. the less concerned we are about the world's popular view and the world's view of us. God's promises continue to help us to realize that eternal life is not a future event. We are currently living in that reality. Right now, this very second, we are eternal. Those who know Jesus, eternal. Not to say we will be, we are. Amen? We are spiritual beings, not will be, but based on the truth and the promises of God. These are two of my favorite verses that reinforce the fact that we are eternal. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the faith, I live by the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. Wow. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us and reveals the person of Jesus. That's the Spirit of God's job. Reveal Jesus to us. That's what he does. And he does it through speaking in us. You see my son's guitar? That red one? You see the piano? They speak the same language. If they didn't, when he strummed that guitar and you played that piano, you'd go, oh, something's not right. What is that? They're out of tune. But the Spirit of God is in tune with us. We are in tune with the Spirit. We speak the same spiritual language. And the closer we're in tune with God, the more God's song resonates within us. It's a musical fact that these two things do beautiful stuff together. It's a spiritual fact that God does beautiful things within us. Amen? Amen. These promises are based on spiritual truth. We have been bought with a price. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. No condemnation remains. No judgment remains. We are completely forgiven. The reality of God's word. Yet, the hanging question is this. Do we live in the reality of God's truth? Or are we somehow captive to our own version of God's word that says somehow we're still guilty? There's still condemnation that remains. And we ask ourselves, can God completely be trusted? In other words, am I willing to walk across the tightrope without a safety net? Am I willing to let Christ be the driver of my life and me the passenger? Taking my hand off the wheel, am I willing? This is the challenge of Advent. Consider God has created human beings uniquely. We are the only species who can self-evaluate, make judgments about who we are and what we believe. God has placed within us the ability to self-examine ourselves, ask ourselves fundamental questions, evaluate the truth, weigh the balance and logically come to an intelligent and spiritually influenced decision. Animals can't do that. You ask your dog when you go home, what are you thinking? He might say, if he could, I'm hungry. Or nothing. But our wives say about us men, what are you thinking? Nothing. But there's a lot more going on there. These animals don't have the capacity to think like that. But God has given us such awareness, such self-awareness, that we can think and we can reason and we can meditate, listen to the Spirit of God speaking within us, and make decisions based on that. Incredible, incredible. Advent is that reality. It's a place of meditation for us to sit back, self-evaluate the person of Jesus entering this season, entering the world, who's entered our life. Advent is also a mark in the calendar, a reminder of places, and we need to be reminded continually. This is the reason that God created time. And the time should be recorded and even measured for our benefit, for our recall. No matter where we are or where we're going in the world, Advent is present. Whether it's acknowledged or dismissed, Advent exists, it's here, and it's on the horizon. So, with this perspective, Advent is the purpose of the calendar. It's the countdown to Christ. In the opening words of the Bible, time and space are established for the purpose of God recording history in a manner that is accurate, that can be fact-checked. The promises can be verified. For the purpose that God's character can be revealed, that He is faithful, He is truthful, and He can be trusted. Which is coincidentally desire of all people. We often hear this stated. Just tell me the truth. Just give me the truth. That is what people say they want to hear until the true truth is told. And then maybe it's not so desirable. Today, in a tangled world of opinion, lies, and news, and propaganda, and brains that really don't want to think too hard or reason too hard, absolute truth is rare. The thought that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever is unfathomable. We live in a world where we might say the only constant is change. So Advent is not just a date in the calendar or a season we enter. It is the present reality of who God is. Who He was, who He is today, and who He will continue to be. And a reminder of His unchanging nature. The solid anchor of which we hold on to. The hymn writer said, "My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness." The early writers seemed to grasp these hymn themes so well. Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Great at the beach, but not much to build your life on. Advent is a season that leads up to the birth of Christ, of what we call Christmas. Jesus' message of Advent. His message of Advent and the season of Christmas have split and are on divergent paths. We all know that what Christmas in a lot of ways has become. And it's something that more resembles the merchants and the money changers outside the temple selling goods for profit during high traffic times. It's true. We all know that Jesus' reaction to this type of activity was, He was angry. Turning over the tables and throwing people out and saying, "My house has become a den of robbers. my Advent. This is my Advent, Jesus would say. It's my time. So keep it my time. We therefore have a challenge set before us, that we begin the season of Advent. The challenge, the Advent challenge for us today. If we collectively do not allow the commercial bombardment and false messaging to consume our thinking and our activities as we enter and travel through the Christmas season. We are in this world, but we are not of it. We are spiritual beings. We know the saying, He is the reason for the season, and yet Advent is not just a season. A season implies for now but not later, when another season emerges. So let us not allow another season to emerge. In closing, let us meditate on some of the ways that God has shown His promise. If He told the sun when to rise, and it did, He will do it again. If He told the storm to be still, and it did, He will do it again. If He told the sea when to split, and it did, He will do it again. If He told the walls when to fall, and they did, He will do it again. He told the chains when to break, and they did. He will do it again. He told the bones to come alive, and they did. He will do it again. He told the stone to roll away, and it did. He'll do it again. If He told the grave to let Him go, and it did. Amen? He'll do it again. Yes, He will. I want to close with this slide today. Welcome the worship team to come back up for their last song. Hosea 6:3 says, As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. So with every new day, there is a sky-written promise of His presence. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank You for the promises of Jesus. Thank You for the reality of You in our life. Thank You for the reality, Lord, of Your sacrifice and Your giving Yourself for us that we might have life and we might have it eternal. Thank You for the forgiveness of sin. Thank You for the relationship that we come into as being Christians and being known by You, Lord. And so we look to You, Lord. We pray You'd help us through this season. Help us to remain faithful. Help us to be the light. Help us to be bold and courageous. We give You our thanks, Jesus. And we praise Your holy name. We love You. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.